In the gospel today, some people come to Jesus asking him about some tragedies that have happened recently. Some people were killed, some good Galilean Jews were killed by the Roman soldiers in the temple or near the temple. And they want to know, what's the meaning of this? And there are 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. And they're asking Jesus, what happened here? Was there some meaning to this? Was it because the people sinned? Did they deserve these terrible deaths? Was this some kind of punishment from God? And Jesus says, no, there's no particular meaning to be found in this. These are senseless tragedies. And it's terrible loss, but you can't somehow put some special meaning into this. Don't blame the victims, and don't try to force some meaning on it. Yes, it is tragic and sad, but instead of focusing on them, you should focus on yourself. He says, unless you repent, you also will perish just as they did. Now, this word repent is a difficult word. It conjures up in us all kinds of associations that are negative. It sounds like we're being told to be remorseful for our sins. In fact, even more than that, to be ashamed and to have regret and to beat ourselves up with guilt. Those are the sorts of things that come up when we hear that word repent. And it's true that religion has been used by people and you with that word to manipulate other people and to control other people. So that word repent, I think, is a problem. Instead of using the word repent, I think maybe we should use the word challenge. Jesus calls the people to repentance, yes, but what he's really doing is he's challenging them to change. We think of Jesus as being a caring and compassionate person, and he is. We see that in the Gospels. But Jesus also has the capacity to challenge people. Think of all the times Jesus challenged people in the Gospel of Luke that we're reading from today. He challenged his own parents when he was 12 years old. He stayed behind when they went home to Nazareth. And when they came back and found him in the temple, he said, didn't you know I would be in my Father's house? And he challenged the people in his own hometown of Nazareth when he came to preach in the synagogue. He told them that, he pointed out their hard-heartedness, and it made them angry. He challenged the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and for their outward show of religion. He challenged the norms of society by eating with tax collectors and sinners. He challenged his followers. He says, if anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross and follow me. And he even challenged his own friends. When he was at home with Martha and Mary, he challenged Martha. And he said, give up your distractions and come listen. So Jesus was able to challenge people to change and become somehow a better person. And I think that's what is happening in this passage. Jesus is challenging his listeners. He says, don't worry about the sins of those who died in these tragedies. Instead, worry about your own sins. Look at yourself instead and see what you need to change. In other words, challenge yourself to be a better person. Now, the mark of a healthy person is a willingness to be honest about themselves and have the courage to make changes when needed. How many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? First, we have to make a beautiful collect to remember the old light bulb, and then we have to form a committee to choose an environmentally responsible light bulb. Jesus says, just change the light bulb. Change. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus calls people to repentance. He challenges them to have the courage to change. Scott Pack was a psychiatrist who wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled, a wonderful book about psychology and religion. And he tells a story about a man named Ted who came to him. Ted was 27 years old. He's living as a hermit in a cabin back in the woods. And he knew that he needed to get out of that cabin, and he wanted to go to graduate school, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. And he came to Scott Peck to find some help. And so they talked through his issues of loss and abandonment and why he was so afraid to leave his cabin in the woods and all the routines he had established and the protection that he had built up around him. And finally, Ted was able to make application to grad school. He was accepted. And just when it was about time to leave, he came to Scott Peck and he said, "I can't do it." And Scott Peck said, "Well, why not?" He said, I just can't force myself to leave the protection of my cabin and all these routines I've so carefully set up and all the things I put in place to make sure my life is safe." And Scott Peck said, "You can do it. I know you can do it. We've talked about this over and over, how you want to go to grad school, all the reasons that you have all these hesitations, and now you've got to do it." And so Ted did do it. He plucked up his courage, he went to grad school, and he was able to become a success. Repentance means to having courage to be honest and make the changes necessary to be necessary for growth, to be a better person. Jesus says, "Unless you repent, you will perish." And what I take that to mean is that if you don't have the courage to change, then that person that you could be will never come to existence, will perish. I think that repentance happens on many levels. It happens on the personal level, like it did with Ted. It happens on a level of the whole society and our whole nation. You know, as a nation, we're addicted to technology, but we don't seem to have the ability to recognize it and have the courage to decide what technology we're going to accept and what we're not. We know about climate change, we can see the effects of it, but we don't seem to be able to admit it or to have the courage to do something about it. We hear about mass shootings, but we don't seem to be able to do anything to stop them or to change our laws. We seem to be helpless. I think Jesus challenges us to change. He calls us to repentance. I think a good example of repentance is Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. After 50 people were killed in a mosque by a white supremacist, she spoke up and she said, "We need to change the laws of New Zealand and outlaw automatic and semi-automatic weapons." And she's brought about a conversation in that country that they've never had before. And it sounds like they're going to start down that road because she had the courage to admit the truth and to take a moral stand. Jesus calls us to repentance. He challenges us to step up to the plate, make the decisions that we need to make, and make them. Lent is a season of repentance. It's a chance to look honestly at ourselves and make the change that we need. Repent. Unless you repent, you also will perish like they did. Amen.